Hi, this is Aaron and Noah, and you're listening to the Ninja Consultant Podcast.
Hello.
We're a couple living in New York City, and we run this anime podcast, which has no clear plan, no real priority, no news, no reviews, just weird crap.
No content, 20 minutes no information, a week. And sometimes you can hear Aaron's brother Matt laughing in the background, but he's not laughing at us, he's laughing at the TV.
He's laughing with us. So
we hope.
So 2 weeks ago, we went to Anime Boston, and we recorded a bunch of stuff there of people that we met, and most of the people who we talked to, we were trying to answer Eriday's question, which she left for us on voicemail.
Hey, Eriday.
Hi, ninjas. It's me, Eriday. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I know I called you, like, not that long ago, but I actually kind of forgot what I was going to ask you that was semi-important, to me at least. When I found out, like, when you guys are going to Anime Boston, I'm like, hey, I'm going to go to Boston this month because my grade, 8th grade, is going to Boston for a couple days at the end of May. So I'm like, hey, maybe we're going to go, like, when Anime Boston's in. And what happened was me and my friend are going to dress up as ninjas. We're going to pretend we're sick and dress up as ninjas, and then we would sneak out somehow, and we'd get into the convention, and we'd already be in costume, so it would work out totally somehow. But, of course, it's not. We'd be 2 days after the convention ends. So that kind of sucks a lot. So I was wondering if you could do me a favor, which is not a favor, but I'm requesting something, I guess. See, my friend's never been to a con, and neither have I. And maybe not just for us, but since we've never been to a con, like, or she doesn't really know what one's like, and I kind of get what one is like from listening to your 20-some podcasts, but she doesn't at all. And when I try to have this discussion, she's just like, okay, what is a convention? And I'm just like, kind of hard to explain. So if you could, like, kind of explain what a convention is in general, on, like, what you do at it and what the stuff is, then, yeah, that would probably help. And, you know, maybe take a few pictures if you can. We're going to see it after, like, what's left, like, all the paddles and stuff like that on the ground. That's just, you know, just asking about it.
Hello, this is Aaron, and I'm sitting in the Artist Alley of Anime
Boston. I'm here,
Boston.
Too.
Noah is also here.
Hi.
And it's about 12:30 on a Saturday. The con is well attended, but our table is far, far at the end of the alley. Although I'm glad they squeezed us in, because, I mean, it did sell out totally. So I made these t-shirts, and a few weeks ago I was drunk and watching Naruto, as often happens. And I thought of the idea would be great to have a t-shirt that said, I survived the filler arc. And at that point, it seemed like the filler arc was ending. In my drunken haze, I was like, this is a brilliant idea. So
that's,
a few days later...
That story is not true at all.
What really happened?
I came up with that slogan.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks to you. All right, so I printed up the slogan on some t-shirts, which have been selling really well.
You jerk.
Unfortunately, nobody's been buying the Ninja Consultant shirts, and it's kind of disappointing. I've only met one listener of the show, and that was yesterday, and he'd only be here Friday, so we couldn't really meet Noah. So, this is...
Once
okay.
again,
we've discussed...
Now you've made me mad at you again over the fact that you totally forgot that I Survived the Filler Arc was completely my idea.
Well,
and
what do you want me to do?
Do you want profit from the t-shirts? Watching Naruto, mind you, is completely the coinage of your mind.
Oh, so in the end, we only sold about 17 t-shirts.
Which is not bad.
Of I Survived the Filler Arc. And we sold more than that. We sold a few more Ninja Consultant shirts after that. But most of them I gave to other podcasters. So there
you
go.
You know what? Whenever Aaron was at the table, no one would buy. Whenever
true.
Aaron left and I was there, they sold like the proverbial hotcakes.
Right. Also, it's worth noting that many people wandered by and saw the I Survived the Filler Arc shirts, and they would stand there and laugh for 5 minutes and then not buy a shirt. But
right. For
the most part, people would come over to the table and be really nice, and they were like, oh my god, I know, it's so terrible,
yeah.
It's been going on for
a
year.
We became a support group.
I wanted to start charging people for counseling, but
Narutards. Or would that
be
Narutards?
Some people were like, oh, which show do you mean? And we're like, whichever one you want.
There's a filler arc going on in Bleach right now.
Well, you don't know that. And also, by the time I get the show out, it might be over.
What?
But
oh, yes.
Apparently Bleach has many small filler arcs, and someone commiserated with me that there was filler within the filler, that they had a filler arc about vampires, and within that, a filler arc containing a puppet show. But
oh, that sounds kind of good, actually.
Yeah. So it became like this psychological support group. Anyway.
Bardia here is to talk to people who have never been to a con before and to tell
Arata and other listeners who've never been to a con, what it's like to go to one. So we've got our friend here.
Arata? Isn't it Arade?
Arade. Got our friend here who we're calling the Ungrateful Ninja. And she's going to tell us what it's like to be at an anime con.
There are many people dressed very strangely. No, seriously, some of the cosplay costumes have been really cool. I really dug the Black Mage I saw yesterday, even though I know it wasn't the best one ever. But, you know.
Black Mage cosplay.
And I guess to say we were online behind the Triforce, and I'm going to just work that to death.
Yeah.
Okay. How would you describe it to someone who's never been to a con?
I don't know. This isn't my first con.
I know.
People in general have been really friendly and nice. It's fun to look at, you know, look at all the different costumes and...
Unfortunately, most of the audio I recorded at Anime Boston came out terrible because I didn't realize that the sound was... It was being recorded from the internal microphone on my PowerBook and not the microphone that I brought with me.
We also didn't learn, as we have just learned, that the secret is every other track we open...
In Audacity
is a good track.
Well,
the next track is going to be full of static. So we have a ritual now, which will prevent us, from having static all the time.
The trouble with our other show is that we recorded it all, and it all had this horrible static, so I used a noise filter to remove it, and it didn't really work out that well for me.
Made it sound like we were talking in a well.
Yeah, or something like that. But I think this problem only happens with the mixer and not with just a regular USB mic. So I don't know if it's a problem with our mixer, it's a problem with Audacity, maybe we should try recording in something else. Who knows? So, because the sound problems were so bad on most of our recordings where people weren't standing near our computer, what we're going to do is we'll listen to a track, and then we'll tell you what the person said.
So, which begs the question, why do we play you the track at all if you can't understand it?
Well, because you'll kind of be able to hear what the person was like when they were saying it. So yeah, the point of playing the track is so you can hear the enthusiasm of the original speaker.
Through a haze of background noise and general squeeing.
Right. Alright, so what that girl was saying...
I don't have any idea.
You also have to understand that the people I started asking about what is it like to be at a con, I made sure to pick someone who obviously looked like they were in junior high or freshman in high school.
We were deliberately going for people who it appeared to be either their first convention or among the first, because any younger, they would have been, you know, in utero. So
it could have been in elementary school. But it was obviously people who were there with their parents. So what that girl said was something like this.
Oh, yes, we're going to
I'm
believe the transcription.
Which
that Erin has made, and we know that she's so credible. Clearly, this is exactly what the girl
everything
said.
Everything I say is a lie, and everything Noah says is an exaggeration. So between the two of us, don't believe anything you hear on our podcast.
That's
in fact,
wise. Except everything
watching,
she says is a lie.
In fact,
therefore,
stop watching anime, because you'll ruin your life. All right, the girl said, it's so much fun because it's like the first time, and my friend's bugging the crap out of me, but it's so fun anyway, because I get to hug people. I get cool stuff. I'm having a really cool time.
At which point I laugh, and... ruin the rest of that take.
Right.
So,
Here's another girl.
Go for it.
It's like really, really exciting. It's like, you go to all the stores and you can buy your favorite TV show stuff. It's like, oh my god, I've gotta have this. It's like so cool. And there's like, you see a store and you see something you like, and then you go to the next one, you see that, you like, you're like, oh god, I gotta choose which one I gotta get both. So, it's like really cool.
Alright. So what this girl was saying was, do you want to read this one? Yeah, you can read this one.
It's like, I'm really, really excited, and you go to all the stores, and you can buy your favorite TV show stuff. It's like, oh my god, I've got to have this, it's like so cool. And you see it in a store, and you see something you like, and then you go to the next one, and it's like, oh god, I gotta choose, I gotta get both. It's like really cool.
So what that very hyper girl said was, by store, I think she meant the dealer's room and various booths within. And apparently she has a hard time deciding on the merchandise which she would like to purchase, which is related to her favorite animated television shows.
Now, I guess...
You just mocked that girl, but what...
No, we
gave her our card. What if she then listens to the show and she's like...
I was not... Little girl, whose mother we also spoke with. Hi, mother. Please don't be angry that I'm mocking your child, because in fact I'm not. I just want to, you know, have a part to do on the show too. But actually, I also want to comment on how this makes me recall when I was maybe 11 years old going to my first conventions, and the dealer's room really did strike me. As time goes on, it's much less a part of why I go to conventions. But initially, just being surrounded by all of this stuff that you'd never seen anywhere else that you could buy and take home with you, it really is kind of overwhelming, and you do immediately want to purchase everything. And
I didn't have that kind of money when I was 11. In fact, I didn't have any money.
Well, that's also a good point. But it struck me when I heard these kids saying this, that I was kind of disappointed that they were there to shop. But now, on retrospect, I realize that it does seem like you're a kid in a candy store.
Yeah, the first convention I ever went to was a Star Trek convention that my mom took us to. We made a drive a long way. Maybe it was in Detroit or Kalamazoo or something. And so Michael Dorn was the guest. But we spent a lot of time in the dealer's room, and I think the events really only happened in the dealer's room. So my impression of that was the same. I was like, wow, holy crap, there's a bunch of stuff here that's really cool. Like, we bought a little Tribble that squeaks when you shake it. We bought a Star Trek The Next Generation bloopers tape, which changed my life. It was, obviously, you know, this fan-made thing that had been bootlegged 1,000 times. There were all these, like, rainbow stripes from being a VHS tape that's been recorded on a bunch. Songs that I had never heard anywhere else, but would hear again much later in life. But it was something that had clearly been passed down from person to person to person in a less than legal way, and it made a big impression on me. And yeah, we watched it like a bazillion times.
And that's a funny thing, because at the first convention I went to, which was Starfest in Denver in 1989. Two purchases that I made there were of the Star Trek bloopers and a Tribble. And I thought that was so awesome.
It was the awesomest thing ever.
I got to buy a Tribble.
I think my mom let us choose like two things that we could buy. And still, it was like, it was kind of hard to pick.
And yet now I would look at me at that age buying a Tribble and be like, man, don't buy a Tribble. Come on.
Buy something
cooler.
What
are you doing?
It's hard. I guess it's hard to buy anything cool at a Star Trek convention.
Yeah, it's Tribble. It's been done. Who cares?
Oh, so the girls we just talked to, they were in very homemade Tokyo Mew Mew outfits that were pretty good, and I think they were maybe in junior high.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't see their parents there, so hey, mom, dad, if you listen to this, I hope it's okay.
Sorry, I just got to put this one open. It's just showing the most patient parent.
So what's it like to be at a con? For someone who's never been to one, how would you describe it?
It is incredible seeing like all the people. I was afraid to dress up because I was worried I was going to be the only one, but here everyone is, and I'm like standing alone in the center of the crowd. I'm really enjoying it. There's a lot of cool stuff around.
Excellent.
I will guarantee whoever you are contemplating going to a con for the first time, you may be concerned that you will be the biggest freak. You will not.
There's
be
no way.
The biggest freak.
Right.
And if you are, I will give you a dollar.
Please call us.
And that is a ninja consultant guarantee.
No one will give you a dollar.
So,
what are you going to do when Sailor Bubba calls?
He's already been to a con. I'm saying this is a first-time con-goer who goes and is the biggest freak. Then I will be very impressed. So we spoke with that girl, and then we talked with her mother. I wanted to talk to parents who were there chaperoning their kids, because
there were a lot of them.
And there were quite a few of them. But I wonder, in the same way that parents take their kids to see children's movies, and I can imagine that the vast majority of them don't really get anything from the film and just try and turn their mind off while they have to watch this, you know, kiddie tripe. I wanted to see how parents felt about conventions.
What's it like to be a parent?
I'm really impressed. Every single person that I've met here, either a vendor or a visitor, has just been so friendly. Everybody is enjoying it together. And we were in a workshop. What's it called?
Mechamania.
Mecha, which is for more like people who are into the robots and gear lights, and nobody was dressed up. So it made me realize that there is, you know, so many different interest sides to this anime. That, you know, there's so many semi groups, but everyone gets along. It's just so much fun. The only complaint I've had though is I feel the registration is totally unorganized. There's no way that, you know, people should have had to wait that long to miss the workshops.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So did you make the costume or
no? We bought it.
We went. She didn't want to dress up. She was afraid nobody else would be dressed up.
All right. So
it makes my hat fly off my head. You're not in the studio, but if you saw me in the studio now, in as much as we have a studio, my hat would be jumping up and down on my head.
In a reference to something that no one knows.
Look, that doesn't matter.
Go ahead.
You can picture me and my hat. Then you picture my hat.
No one never wears hats.
Head,
not ever.
Okay. In Surprise, for instance.
No one never wears hats.
This is because here's a parent saying essentially that anime conventions are great because, firstly, they are so open and affirming, which is fine. But secondly, because they're so child friendly and they're so, as she'll say later, everyone's so nice.
I was thinking about following this segment up immediately with the story about Cthulhu giving Buddy Christ a blowjob.
Right.
And then the story about the girl leading
which
her 8-year-old.
Later.
Yeah, maybe I'll put that in part two. With the girl leading her 8-year-old girl sister around on a leash.
Yeah,
to
she wasn't leading her around on a leash. She was sitting in a shoeshine chair. Because I saw this, and then her sister...
Well, don't worry, we've got that later.
Right. Well, okay,
and the
we'll
staff describes it too, but...
The point is, when I started going to anime conventions, they were kind of sleazy, because all there were, you know, a bunch of balding 35-year-old men, and me, and I was like 11 or 12. Well, I guess I was a little older, 14 or 15, when I started going to anime conventions. And now it's like the Disneyfication of Times Square, where it really has been rendered pretty tame.
I don't know if our younger listeners are going to get that reference, or indeed non-New Yorkers.
So the
Disneyfication of Times Square, for those of you who are only 14, is that Times Square in the 70s was notorious for just having peep shows and porno theaters and all-night porno theaters and crazy crap. There were hookers and every kind of drug. But as the city cleaned up and the crime rate dropped by 150% or something crazy like that, by the 90s, Bloomberg really did...
Whoa, it wasn't Bloomberg.
Not
it was
Bloomberg,
Giuliani.
Sorry. Giuliani cleaned up the city, and Times Square went... Times Square, there are almost no porno theaters now at all.
Right.
Like, you really have to look.
Well,
and Disney built a giant theater where they show The Lion King.
Right.
And that was kind of the last thing, like... Suddenly it was very tourist friendly, it's family safe, there are no porn shops, no hookers, just a big Lion King theater and like 12 other nice theaters and overpriced shops and eateries and whatever. A giant Red Lobster with a spinning Red Lobster.
So it's kind of strange to think that to make anime more accessible, this has kind of happened. Now I don't know if it's the same sort of thing, because Disney wanted families to come to Times Square to spend money on The Lion King and Beauty and the Beast and these other shows that they put together. And Giuliani wanted to make Times Square the kind of a place where Disney wanted to spend its money. Now we see that the same sort of thing is happening at conventions.
Well, there's a shift in what kind of anime is being imported. And if you want to learn more about it, you can listen to last week's episode of the Anime World Order show. But what happened was in the mid-90s, in the mid-90s, you got a bunch of titles being imported that were Legend of the Overfiend and a bunch of stuff that was just not kid-safe at all. They were very violent, Akira-like, or very sexual anime. So people got this kind of impression, anime, oh yeah, that's that stuff with the tentacle rape. And then the next big thing that got imported was Pokemon. So it was one or the other extreme, that either it was for tiny children or it was tentacle porn, and there was nothing in between.
Right.
And eventually now all the other in-between titles are coming over, thanks to kids who watched Pokemon getting older and moving on to Fullmetal Alchemist and what have you. And that covers a lot of our listeners, actually. But that's why a lot of people, and I think someone emailed me and asked me this once, too. But that's why a lot of people think that anime is either porn or kid stuff. But yes, it hits everything in between.
Because it's very strange that... I know that when I first got into it, all of these balding 35-year-olds were like, wow, man, what happens when we die? There'll be no generation to follow in our footsteps. You know, all of anime fandom is going to age itself out.
And it turns out those 35-year-olds had kids, and now they're now that they have, like, especially, there's a
I wish it were true that those 35-year-olds
had kids.
Okay,
different 35-year-olds had kids, but there's something that happens, and we get a few listener emails about it, and I've also seen a thread on, like, Green Scene talking about dads with daughters who watch anime.
In fact, there are some dads with daughters who watch anime who listen to this show.
Yeah, kind of. So this is a shout out. There's that one chick girl who's in high school, and she said her and her father were going to start a podcast, and I'm literally looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah, where it's very interesting.
You know, she started watching whatever it is teenage girls watch, Sailor Moon and what have you, and then her dad's like, oh, you like anime? No, I think they were watching Inuyasha together. Mm. And then he was like, well, I'll show you some of this other stuff, and he busted out old Miyazaki movies, and they watched them all together. So it's, I think it's an interesting dynamic.
Right.
All right.
Well, hold on. I do have a point to make, which is that I wonder if the driving force, what put all of those kids into the cons and got all of the 35-year-olds who were making it kind of not family-friendly, is this just marketing? What? Why did this demographic shift? I understand on the surface why this demographic shift took place, but I think that there is something else that's going on there. I don't know. I don't know entirely what it is. Anyway, the next segment here, this is the same parent, and we do discuss Pokemon a little bit.
Do you watch anime together?
Some of it. I love Avatar.
Oh, really?
Oh.
I'm a preschool teacher, so I like the stories with the moral endings and teaching kids things and,
yeah,
you know, the respect for the elders. And I'm going to ask you to watch Blue. I took you to the first Pokemon movie when you were just a little girl.
Oh, yeah. That came out. Yeah. My brother worked in a movie theater when the Pokemon movie came out, and like three kids threw up at first screen. I think they were just eating too much popcorn and they were too excited, so they were just like.
But we've had a really good time. Her dad was supposed to bring her today, actually, and he likes to write. He had his writing workshop, so he didn't come, and I was kind of, I don't know if I'm going to enjoy this, but I'm really having a great time.
Excellent.
Good.
You guys are really nice, too.
Oh, well, thank you.
You notice that I asked the woman, so do you watch anime with your kid? And she's like, I love Avatar. I don't know if she knows or not that Avatar is completely American. It's originally produced by Nickelodeon, and they make it out in California. And I know someone who knows someone who apparently wrote for the show.
Good for you.
Look, so
we have started watching Avatar,
yes,
and we'll probably discuss it later in other shows.
But it's pretty
that's
good.
That's what this is about.
So what makes Avatar different from a regular American cartoon is mainly the way the plot is structured, in that from episode to episode, it is a continuous plot line. It is not episodic. You don't necessarily understand what's happening in one episode when you haven't seen the one before. It's more like, what, like Cities of Gold or something?
Yeah. Or, why are you picking up white?
Because that was also shown on Nickelodeon, and it was an international
production. You don't even know. You don't know.
I've read some plot summaries. Whatever.
You don't know anything about Cities of Gold.
Is that all you have to say about it?
No, but...
Wait, hold on. Okay. Since you're a second con, what was it? What were the two?
And at a con, we went to the Pride to Last, and last year we were here.
Okay.
It's really neat. It's a very fun event for all ages. It's safe. It's very cool.
Do you watch anime with your son?
With my daughter, that's what I do.
Oh, okay.
Full Metal Alchemist.
Every time I give away a free pin to an L, they don't buy any additional pins. I'm like, note to self, don't give away so many L
L's
pins.
Are cheats. Cheats? L's are cheap. I mean.
Way to go. So what's it like for our listeners who've never been?
Kind of creepy at times, but it's cool.
What's creepy?
Some of the costumes.
Some of them.
Yeah.
So what, do you watch anime with your kids?
No.
No. What shows do you guys like?
Full Metal Alchemist.
Yes. They're not in the sketchbook, obviously.
What's
that?
So what you're watching, on Adult Swim then?
Yeah.
Primarily.
Perception, I mean, what do you think of all this?
I think it's awesome because there's everybody's here. From young kids with their parents to their grandmother's here. And other people have run up to her and said, where's your costume? And
yeah,
they're the same age as her. So they're like 60s wearing a costume.
Yeah, I've seen
pretty
people.
Awesome.
And they'll play the very old characters.
Yeah, exactly. Really good, so I like it that everybody's here.
All
right. 60-year-old cosplayers? No, specifically. 60-year-old cosplaying grandmas are awesome. I'm not going to say that's hot because someone might misunderstand me. No, seriously.
That'd be weird.
That is hot.
Okay.
Alright, so the way I describe what it's like to be at a con, if you've never been to one, is, first, only get about 3 hours of sleep for 2 or 3 nights in a row. Then, when you get to the con, make sure you've somehow, the hotel has messed up your reservation. Then wait in a line. Go to the, like Noah's suggestion was, go to the post office, wait in line. Then when you get to the front, go to the back. And do that until you wait in line for about 2.5 hours. So you get the equivalent con experience. Next, make a schedule for yourself for the day that you can't possibly keep. And make sure you missed something really important while you're in line because you got to con late. Oh yeah, take as many forms of public transportation as possible. Get on a bus, take a taxi, take a train, take a subway. Do all of those. Get lost at least once. And make sure the bus is like late. Alright, then after that, watch some anime, but not the anime you want, and watch it dubbed. And make sure some people sit in front of you so you can't really see the screen because the screen is like too low. Also, it would help if they smell pretty bad, and or they have really tall hair or something. Also, sit in the dark, and make your friends open and close the door as such that light hits the screen, and if it's subtitled, you can't read it. Or it's
Which
regular,
it's not.
And it's not. Dubbed. It's dubbed, so then you can't really see it. And the sound system's kind of off, so you can't actually hear the English. And it's bad acting. We'll do that.
Don't eat all day except for
2 meals,
a box of graham crackers, and a bottle of chocolate syrup, and then jump up and down, and that's what it feels like eating nothing but Pocky all day.
Yeah, only eat Pocky for breakfast, and then go. Only eat Pocky for breakfast, and then drink a lot of coffee. Then when you crash from that, maybe eat some lunch at a restaurant you don't like. Alright, and that's pretty much what it's like to go to a con.
In the anime convention, which is the only kind of convention I've been to, this being my first, is like a big bacchanal of nerdiness and a writhing petri dish of exuberance and human joy, tempered by some real serious lameness and sort of inappropriate fatness. It serves as an object lesson in both tolerance and amusement.
Moderation,
yes. It's not fun to be jostled by cosplayers when you come over. That's a lesson that I would never have learned if I hadn't come here. Balance between commercial stuff and just fan enthusiasm. It's a good time, and I recommend everyone should go to a con of their favorite fandom.
Great, thanks.
Noah, I was thinking about what you reminded me of in that picture, since I told Erin who she reminded me of. And you remind me of the hobo that lives by the train tracks. With the hat! Yeah, you just need a blue, like, ribbed hat and, like, little outfit thing. Yeah, so that's who your picture reminded me of. You don't sound like the hobo. I don't know what the hobo sounds like. Hope you have a nice day. Bye.